Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited about you joining me today. I look forward to it every single Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I love coming in and joining with you and talking about the latest trends and whatever topics and whoever our guest is for the day. I love you guys so much. And listen, while we are on air right now, I want to tell everyone about your weather report like I do every Wednesday. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you are 83 degrees and sunny right now, and you're going to be at a high 84 degrees today and sunny all day. Wow, that is beautiful weather right by the beach. We got Miami, you are partly cloudy today, 87 degrees, and you're going to be more cloudier as the day goes by. Around 2 p.m., you'll be 88 degrees, your high. Fayetteville, North Carolina, 84 degrees, sunny, and your high is a whopping 90 degrees, partly sunny all day. And we have Augusta, Georgia. Woo! Augusta, Georgia, shout out to you. You're 87 degrees and sunny right now. 93 is going to be your high, partly sunny today. And we have Atlanta, Georgia, 85 degrees, sunny today. Your high is 88 degrees. Oh, and we got to talk about DC. What are we doing in DC? 88 degrees today. Hey, DC, mostly sunny. Today, we are going to be high in 93 degrees. All right. Well, listen, I got a couple of announcements for you. And I wanted to share this with you. Dr. Steve Green, he is actually the executive producer at Charisma Media, where I am. My book is published, and his new book is called Love Leads. It's just released yesterday. And so you can go online and look up Love Leads and Steve Green, G-R-E-E-N-E, for more information. He's on Twitter at Dr. Steve Green, and you can go and follow him and listen to what Love Leads. And it's such a good book, and I'm super glad and so happy for him. I love Charisma Media. Like I said, that's where my books are published, Born Into Sin, Transformed in Destiny, and also The Keys Against the Enemy, which is right now in print. I will be getting the hard copies at the end of the month, and I got so many more announcements connected to The Keys Against the Enemy. So I'm going to hold off on that, but you got to stay tuned because it's so much going on. It's going to have its own website. It's got so much going on. Podcasts, The Keys Against the Enemy, and so much more. So this is a really big deal. The Keys Against the Enemy is a 90-day spiritual boot camp that is going to help elevate you in your prayer life, give you more wisdom, impartation of revelation. It's going to increase your understanding. You're going to feel more powerful, more equipped in your day. And after the 90 days, you are going to be on to your next level in your journey. And so I'm super excited about the impartation. It's super anointed. I can't take any credit for it. God is doing it all, and like he does with everything else. So I'm just so thankful, and you got to look out for this. Again, Love Leads, and also The Keys is out now, and The Keys Against the Enemy is coming out in August. So listen, it's going to be good, good, good. So anyway, we got two guests. Today is so important to me because, you know, it's a lot of talk about the statistics with HIV and AIDS and so many other transmitted diseases out here, starting from children all the way till the elderly. And it's no man is exempt, you know, and it's just so important. And we always think that, you know, what we do behind closed doors or whatever, however it's transition, you know, sometimes people get it through blood transfusion. Some people get it from, you know, sex and so many other different ways. And so this is why it's so important for Renee Y. Burgess. She's coming on to give us some insight because so many people have so many questions. And, you know, it's an epidemic really in our nation, but it's also in the church as well. And I mean, I want people to really tune in, tell a friend about this show. It's very important. You got to know it could save your life. And so also with joining me, well, he's actually going to be the interviewer today, my main man, celebrity comedian A-Train. So welcome both Renee Y. Burgess. Thank you for joining us, Renee.
Oh, you're welcome. Hi.
Hi. And then again, celebrity comedian A-Train, are you there?
I'm here. What's going on, Dr. Gina?
Everything is everything. I'm really glad to be a part of this just portion of awareness. It's just so important for, you know, us as a, you know, as a radio show to not only just give entertainment and influence as far as, you know, your next level or, you know, right, your ideas and, you know, encouraging you and things like that. But we also have to bring health conscious awareness as well. And it's so much going on and has been for a while. And I think people have just, you know, tried to ignore it and, you know, turn the other way. Don't look at it. Don't talk about it. And it just won't exist. But that's just not the case. I mean, I know at least three people that have contracted HIV and AIDS, you know, either or, and two in my family and one a friend. So, you know, it's just, I'm sorry, two friends and one in my family. And so it's very, very much close to home and needs to be an awareness brought to the surface. So Renee Burgess, welcome to the show. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sure. Again, I'm Renee. A lot of people call me Lady Bird. That's kind of the, I guess, little nickname that has stuck with me. I've been positive now this year will be 10 years. I have a foundation. My foundation is called the Lady Bird Live Foundation. And in my foundation, what I do is like I'm doing now. I come and I speak and I educate. I share my story. And I also do linkage to care. At this moment, I don't do testing myself, but if someone needs testing, needs care, I link them to care. I also, I travel and speak. If someone needs me to come to a conference and speak to a group of troubled teens, I do that as well. My story, basically, just really simply put, I married a guy who decided to not disclose his status to me even after we went and got tested before marriage. So after we got married, I became pregnant with my twins and found out through my prenatal testing that I was HIV positive. And so with getting that information and finding out that he knew his status and he chose not to disclose it, I took it upon myself to find out what could be done. And in the end, I found out that what he had done was a felony crime in the state of Florida.
Wow.
And so I contacted the sheriff's office, filed my police report. They issued a warrant for his arrest. He initially pled not guilty and was trying to say, well, how do I know she didn't give it to me? But with any time that you go and get tested, if you become positive, and this is with any STD, if you are positive with any STD, your name goes into the database with the health department and the CDC. And so his name had already been in the database as far back as August 2002. Now, I found out 2007. So 5 years prior, he had already known his status. And so he ended up pleading guilty. And in the state of Florida, the maximum sentence is 5 years. So he was sentenced to those 5 years. And as of March 2012, he was released. And I tell everybody all the time, you know, it's very unfortunate that this situation happened to me. But the positive side of it is that the twins that I was pregnant with were born HIV negative.
Oh, wow.
I always tell them, you know, it's sad. I get my moments when I'm like, why do I have to deal with this? But in the end, you know, I have my twins who were born negative through a situation that was, you know, in the 80s, a baby being born to someone who's HIV positive would probably also have been born positive. So, you know, I take that and I use
right.
that to also encourage other women who are HIV positive who probably don't have kids and want to have kids. There are ways they can do that. So, you know, when I go and talk to people, I let them know this stuff and always let them ask me questions. I'm an open book. There's nothing you can ask me that I probably won't answer. So, you know, that's what I do. And I've been doing it now. I've been doing that now for 9 years. So it's just been something that once I started doing it, I couldn't stop because I wanted to make sure that people who are negative remain negative.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Renee, let me just say, first of all, I want to say, you know, thank you for, number one, coming on with us and sharing your story and just possessing the courage that you have. I definitely want to extend that to you.
Absolutely.
I think you are a phenomenal woman, man. Not because of what was, like, you know, thrown on you, but the way that you have gone about in responding to it and responding to it in the benefit of others. So, you know, thumbs up, kudos to you on that, and just blessings your way, you know, for that. Let's get into, I mean, this is, you know, we talk about, we read stories like this, you know, you see things come across the news, you know, and the headlines, but to actually be, you know, in the presence of someone with such a crazy story like this, and then because you've been dealing with it so long, and this is your reality, it comes out like, you know, just a matter-of-factly type tone, when it's like, man, wait a minute, you know what I mean? Back up, slow down, you know, it's like, this is like,
right.
I need a minute.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, I need a minute just listening to the story. And so what I would like for you to do is just maybe back up a minute and just peel back the onion a little bit and speak to some of those things that people don't know about on the back end. Like you said, you have your moments. You know, what are those moments? You know, what are some of the things that, you know, a person, you know, have to deal with, knowing that here I am living my life. I'm doing what I know to do is right. You know, I've went through the dating phase. I've given my life to someone, you know, that I'm in love with, you know, and only to have him just snatch the rug out from underneath me to damage my actual physical life. Like, so, you know, what type of, I mean, that's a big pill to swallow. So I just want to know, share with us some of those things that a person, you know, may have to go through. What do you face? You know, what would a person need counseling for? Like, what are some of the background music that plays in your head?
Okay, sure. You know, well, I'll back up to when I first found out. When I first found out, we were at my doctor's appointment, and they had already done my prenatal lab. So the doctor comes in, and she's like, well, I have your labs back, and everything's okay except one thing. Now, being that I've been a diabetic since 2003, I'm thinking she's going to tell me, oh, your blood sugar's high, and this is what's wrong. So she tells me, your blood sugar's actually fine. And so she says, well, can we ask your husband to step out of the room? Because most times, a lot of stuff, they consider confidential whether you're married or not. So he steps out of the room, and she comes in, and she says, well, I have your labs back, and everything's okay except one thing. And I'm looking at her, and she has this look on her face like, how do I tell her this? And so I'm just looking at her, waiting on her to say whatever it is, and she says, well, your labs say you're HIV positive. So my initial reaction was, I was numb. I was frozen in time. No, I tell everybody this all the time. Anytime I tell this story, I can hear the doctor's voice. I can smell the paint. I can smell the equipment in that room just as if it was the same day 10 years ago. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, she's like, well, do you want us to bring your husband back in? I said, yeah, bring him back in, because if you're telling me I'm HIV positive, then he's the reason why. And
Absolutely.
So she brings him back in, and she tells him, she's like, well, do you want to tell him? I want to tell him. I said, well, you tell him. She tells him, and his reaction was, he wasn't shocked. He wasn't, you know, some people, they might get all crazy and be like, what? What do you mean?
Right.
It was none of that. He was so calm. He was like, well, we'll get through this. Everything will be okay. That was red flag one for me. I'm like, okay, he's acting real calm. That means he knows.
Yeah.
And so we get in the car, and the first thing he says to me is, don't tell anyone.
Wow.
Flag number two. When he says to me, don't tell anyone, that's telling me, okay, yeah, he definitely knows. And so literally, because this is something new to me. I didn't know how to deal with it, how to react. You know, I didn't tell anybody. This was literally this was the day before Thanksgiving of 2007. So keep in mind now, my mom's there, my aunt, my older daughter was, you know, we were all there because it's going to be Thanksgiving. And so I still didn't say anything. I just went in the room, cried, laid in the bed, didn't tell anybody anything.
And see, you're better than me now. I mean, it's like...
Right. And so I eventually, probably about 2 weeks later, I broke down going to work. I was working a third shift job, and I broke down, and I called my mom. So this is my first time ever disclosing. You always hear people talk about, you know, you have to disclose your status. So this was my first time having to disclose, and I told my mom. And so when I call her, of course, she's crying. I'm past my crying stage at that point, but I had to hear her cry. So, of course, here I am crying again. And she's like, well, what are you going to do? So I say, well, at this time, we were staying in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So I say, well, I'm going to come home to Jacksonville, Florida. I'm going to come home, and I'll figure out from there. So I packed up, and I left, and I came here, and... Of course, he kept calling, are you coming home? Are we going to work this out? Are we going to do this and that? I went through every emotion you could think of. I was numb. I was sad. I was angry. And the worst emotion I ever felt was rage. I never thought that I could feel an emotional, you know, like that. Rage is something serious. So immediately right after Christmas, I went back. But I went back so that I could get all of my belongings. Whatever I came into that marriage with, I was going to be leaving with. So when I got back, I didn't want to just leave because I know he'd try to stop me. So he had to go back to work New Year's Day. So I waited for him to go back to work. He worked a third shift job also. So as soon as he hit that door, I got on the phone and called two people. I said, hey, I need you to help me pack this stuff up so I could leave. And we did all that. And I knew I had to leave right then because a couple of days before that, we're going to the store and I'm driving. So now just use your imagination and picture I'm in the driver's seat, he's in the passenger seat. And I just bust out laughing because usually I'm the one that sees the funny stuff happening on the road somewhere. So I bust out laughing and he's looking at me like, what's so funny? I say, oh, I just thought of a new way to kill you today. And so when I said that, I knew I had to leave because that's where my mindset was at that point. Yes. So leaving is when I said, you know what? That's when I finally got back here, found out that the stuff he had done to me was a crime. And, I mean, it was hard to have someone put in jail, arrested, charged, and sentenced. You know, somebody that you trusted. Now, what I do now is I tell people all the time because one of my biggest mistakes, and it took me a couple of years to realize that it was a mistake, and that was when we did go and get tested before marriage. Now, Florida doesn't require testing before marriage anymore. They used to long time ago.
Yeah, they used to. Mm-hmm.
But South Carolina does, but we didn't get married there. We got married in Florida, so... I got tested because that was something that I did yearly anyway because I had been a medical assistant, and you just never know.
Right.
You may have not gotten stuck by a needle, but you don't know. So it was just a habit for me every year to get tested. And so I say, well, let's go and get tested. I'm trusting him. So we're going to his doctor that he's already had established. We're going to his doctor. We're getting tested. Now, this is where the HIPAA law and the Privacy Act come into play because I knew all about this stuff, but I didn't think, okay, well, here we are. We're getting married. We're sitting in front of the doctor. I didn't think about, okay, yes, we're sitting in front of this doctor, but if he tells this doctor, well, whatever happens, I'm going to tell her. The doctor's not obligated to tell me anything. He's protected by the HIPAA law. And so... We're sitting in front of this doctor. I'm telling him my HIV tests are negative. He's telling me his HIV tests are negative. The doctor's sitting there, and in his mind, he knows that he's lying, but he can't tell me.
But can't say anything.
And because we're sitting in front of the doctor, I didn't say, well, let me see your papers, because here I am. I'm trusting my situation.
So the lesson in this to the listeners is one of the things that they may need to do versus what you actually did is to request to see the paperwork.
Exactly. Right. I tell people all the time.
I want to interject for one question because I want to ask you, how soon after you did that and you got married, did you have children? Did you conceive? Like, what was the time frame from that point where you got tested and he got tested and you got pregnant?
We got married August 4th, 2007. We tested probably that summer. I couldn't give you like an exact date or anything.
But 2007.
Right, in 2007. And I found out that I was pregnant the very end of October.
Wow.
When I found out I was pregnant. And then I went for those labs. I went like the first week of November. And then the reason I ended up going to the doctor the day before Thanksgiving was because I was so nauseous, I kept throwing up, couldn't hold food down, and that's when I found out I was pregnant with twins, and that's why I was so nauseous. And so I really didn't even have an appointment that day. They brought me in as a walk-in.
Wow.
And just so happened to have my prenatal labs back already.
So you didn't have any symptoms? Because I know a lot of people are looking for symptoms. They looking for this to happen and this to happen. You had none of that. You just went in because you were nauseous because of pregnancy and just had your blood work drawn and found out at that moment.
Right. Absolutely. And I try to tell people all the time, you can't look for signs and symptoms. That's what people always want to look for. Oh, I got a cough. Oh, I got this. You know, they look at these things and they think, oh, well, I might have this and that. One thing about the HIV virus, you will not see any signs or symptoms if you're HIV positive and not in any care for almost up to a year. That's usually when somebody goes in, they have pneumonia. They probably had that unprotected sex that infected them probably a year later. Some people say, "Oh, well, somebody told me it could take 10 years." If you Google, you'll see this too. What takes 10 years is if you are HIV positive and you're on your medication, doing what you're supposed to do, it can take up to 10 years for you to experience any signs or symptoms if you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing.
Right, right. And that has been the case since the actual public breakout about and like the first form of education with HIV to the public, like, you know, before Magic came out with, you know, his situation. That was the deal concerning, you know, this particular virus from day one. So you're right.
Right, yeah. And see, the thing is, I tell people so much that you have to, if you have unprotected sex, you have to understand there's what's called a window period. The window period is anywhere from the time you have sex up until 2 to 3 months afterwards. In that window period, if you go and get tested and your test is negative, you still go at the end of that window period to get retested because it could just be where the virus has not taken over your blood, your cells enough to show on a HIV test.
Right, right.
You know, so people, they'll go and say, oh, I had unprotected sex. Then a week later, go and get tested. Oh, I'm negative. But then say 3 or 4 months later, they're tested or they get sick and they're HIV positive. And they say, well, I just tested and it was negative. Well, how long after that unprotected sex did you test? And that's when the doctors realize, okay, you just tested too soon.
There's a, this whole epidemic has taken on a culture of its own, and just from, you know, I mean, you would think you know, everybody view it as, you know, like, oh, my God, this is horrible. You know, this is something you don't want. But there's a center that I know of here in the state. They have different facilities set up in high HIV areas, and they have street teams, you know, trying to educate, trying to present, and all of this. And this national association, I was sitting down with them a couple of months ago, one of their directors, and he was sharing with us about this phenomenon that they come across and have to, like, break up, like, the little ring. They call them HIV parties, where people will gather together who are already affected, and they're gathering together to have sex with these other people who don't have HIV in order to give them HIV because of the benefit that the government have in place for people with HIV.
Wow. Right. Listen, I want you to hold on to that because we got to take a commercial break, okay? We got to take a commercial break and then we'll be right back. Listen, can you guys stay with me because I got to go with the schedule, but I want to pick up just where you were talking about A-Train after these messages and after our segment. Can you guys stay on a little bit longer with me?
Oh, sure.
Okay, fantastic. We got to take care of the bills. Gotta do the commercials. All right. Listen, you guys, if you have gotten an earful already and there's so much more that you want to know, you got to stay tuned. There's not going to be anything uncovered. I promise you, you're going to get the answers. If you're curious about something, you will know it shortly. Okay. So stay with us right after these messages and we'll be right back with Ebony 5 Minutes of Glam. Thank you. And just get a snack and come on back with us.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I am super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and Soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord, and He ministered to me, He put that in my spirit, health and soul. And He said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy, and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what He wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey.
How do you feel when your alarm clock goes off for work each morning? What's the first battle on your mind? Fuel up on God's Word every weekday with Dr. Steve Green's podcast, At Work with God, so that you have the strength and energy to stay kingdom-minded all day. You can also listen to Dr. Green's leadership podcast, Green Lines, for devotions on spirit-led leadership. And check out his new book, Love Leads, which will be released later this year. Imagine how you would feel after listening to daily words of hope, life, and encouragement. Find At Work with God and Green Lines on iTunes, Google Play, or cpnshows.com.
Hey, this is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Keep it locked. Got more for you. Got more for you.
All right, Ebony, you ready for 5 minutes of glam?
I'm ready for my 5 minutes of glam. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What you got for us, please?
So today we're going to be talking about, the main question I get is, can I have a gorgeous makeup look in the summertime? As we all know, it's July. It's peak time of summer. Pretty much 100 degrees here in Maryland, so it gets really hot. And the answer is you can definitely have gorgeous makeup in the summertime if you learn how to accept and use the factors that come with it. So with that being said, I mean that you sweat during the summertime. You know that's going to happen. Which is going to create shine, so you want to combat that. And also, you don't want to wear anything really heavy. So let's talk about first primers. Of course, you want to use a mattifying primer, but it doesn't matter if your makeup is super matte or not. You're still going to shine up because you naturally sweat. So you have to kind of use that to your advantage. Some people may want to use a dewy foundation, which will give you, like, a glow. So that's something that you could do as well. I will recommend using a liquid foundation if you have to use foundation, and only use a little bit. A lot of people have the issue of it looks too cakey and it looks too fake, and it's because you're using too much of the product. If you decide to use cream, I wouldn't recommend that because creams are heavier. I would use more of a cream in the wintertime when it's colder, and you may need that extra moisture in your skin. But with using a liquid, you can kind of gauge how much to put on. Even if it's a little drop, you can kind of make it work. For me personally, I haven't been using foundation. With my morning routines, I've been literally spot correcting. And when I say spot correcting, I mean that I've only been covering up little blemishes and little areas that I may not want to be seen. So that is underneath my eye where I have some dark spots, and maybe on the side of my face where I have some dark spots as well. With me using concealer, I'm using a concealer that is my skin tone color, and I am also applying it with my fingers because I like the natural finish and the natural blend that it gives me when I use my fingers. You can always use a brush if you like. But if you feel like you need to use foundation, like if you have acne scarring or if you have heavy acne, I would use the Urban Decay Naked Foundation, Naked Skin Foundation. It's super light and super flawless. It's not heavy, but it gives you the coverage you need, especially during the summertime. Also, for summer, I would do a nice nude lip. So let's talk about nude lips, because just because it says nude on it doesn't mean that that is the right lip for your skin tone color. You need to actually take the time to look at your natural lip color, and then also look at your skin tone color, because you may, new for you may be, you know, I want something that's close to my foundation color, and you use a darker brown lip liner, and then you put like a clear gloss or a gloss that's close to your skin tone color on top. So it's many ways you can make it work, but for me personally, these are the little tips that I've used to help me through this summer. I did the same techniques that I just explained to you guys this morning, and I just threw on some lashes. And I actually didn't even put on lipstick today. So, like I said, you have to embrace the beauty that's already there and just make it work for you.
That was great tips. How can they get in touch with you, Ebony?
Okay, so you can get in touch with me on Instagram and on Facebook at Ebony Tyler Beauty. And if you want to ask me any questions, you can always email me at ebonytylerbeauty@gmail.com.
Yes, and she does my makeup. I love her. She's on here every third Wednesday of the month, and I always look forward to her coming on. I know you do too. And she gives great tips, and I love the natural look. Everybody wants natural. It's too hot to have a lot of stuff on your face, girl. So I know those are great tips. Ebony, thank you so much for being on Dr. Gina's radio chat and being a part of the team, girl.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
All right. Bless you, girl. Have a wonderful day and the rest of the week.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, hon. Bye-bye. Okay, so now, you know, we got our tips, and we went through commercial break, and I want to pick up where A-Train had left off. It was, I mean, I have never heard of that. Renee, have you?
HIV
swing party? I've never heard of that. So can somebody tell the listeners what and myself what is that?
Yeah, so basically this organization discovered where these people in the these inner cities and highly affected HIV areas were having what they call HIV parties, and where you had the HIV positive people gathering with the people who did not have it and was having sex with them to infect them with the virus. So with the purpose of them being able to go and get the assistance that the government, you know, gives and, you know, and issues out financially and housing and just being able to kind of take care of you, so to speak. And it's a very poor mentality to have, but at the same time, it is a reality that is going on within this whole world of, you know, epidemics of HIV. So I just wanted to, like, you know, like put that out there and just, like, really share with our listeners how, you know, many shapes and forms this thing has taken and the domino effect that it has caused, like, within our community in areas that you would never, you know, fathom about. So I just wanted to put that out there. When I came across it and the guy shared that with us, I was like, are you kidding me? And he was like, yeah. He said, because of the benefits and the things that the government put in place for people who have HIV. And you have some people, they're bottom out, so to speak, and they feel like they don't have any way up but through the HIV virus. So, Renee, you say you've heard of this as well, right?
Right. I've heard of that, but more detail, there are actually people who seek out trying to date someone, like not just go and have a little one-time fling or something, but I personally have encountered people who want to sleep with you. They're negative. They want to have unprotected sex. And it's almost like a Russian roulette. They want, you know, it's like, it's a thrill of sleeping with someone and possibly getting infected or not getting infected. And, you know, and a lot of times you don't realize that's what the person's intentions are. But see, with me, I guess I got so much common sense. I pick up on it real quick. You know, but some people, if you find someone who's maybe depressed because they can't find a boyfriend or girlfriend, they may fall victim to someone doing that. And a lot of times, that's how a lot of people end up in jail for knowingly infecting others, is because they fall victim to that. The person knows their status, but guess what? It becomes a game of he say, she say. And, you know, and I've met people who were put in jail because someone lied and said that they didn't know and they didn't tell them when, in fact, they really did. You know, so it's just one of those things.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying it's just one of those things where you have to just pay attention of the people that you bring around yourself.
Gotcha. So I want to make sure that I was maybe picking up on something that you said but didn't necessarily directly say. So now that you have a situation where, you know, you're affected with this virus, so what do you do in situations? Because, I mean, you're still living your life, and I assume that you're still being approached by other men who want to date. And then, so what you're saying is you have to be careful in whether or not, if this is a situation where somebody is trying to play Russian roulette with their life, or if this person is seriously, like, really interested in, you know, dating you or trying to, you know, be with you. So you've come across situations where you had to kind of, like, you know, dodge some Russian roulette people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have. And it's sad, too, because, you know, and it's usually people, I guess being that I'm on, I call it the inside, you know, when you're positive and everybody you associate with is positive. When you're on the inside looking out, you kind of notice those one or two people who are negative, but they are always paying attention to everything that HIV positive people are doing. You know, those, they're looking and they're weeding out, and then they're trying to figure out how can they squeeze up in there, you know, and become a part of what all you have going on, you know.
Wow.
And that's why I tell people all the time, when it comes to dating, the first thing you need to do with dating, if you're going to date somebody casually, that's not a moment when you have to disclose your status. But if the situation is going to become serious, sexual contact is going to be involved, then make sure you disclose to them your status up front. I mean, and it's hard, because when I first started dating after my diagnosis, I had to figure out, how do I tell somebody my status? Do I tell them up front, or do I wait? Now, I did wait one time. The one time I did wait, and the guy finally, about 3 months later, was like, well, I want to have a serious relationship. So I said, okay, well, I have to tell him. So when I told him, let's just say I got put out the car on the side of the road and had to call a friend to pick me up to get home. You know, because it was just one of those things where he was uneducated. It was just a thing where, oh, you trying to give it to me? And it's like, no, I'm not, but whatever.
Right.
You know, so from that experience, I tell people up front, like, and my mom, she didn't believe me at first, But, like, I could be in Walmart, and the guy can approach me for my number. And the first thing I say to them is, well, just so you know, with my phone number because of HIV positive status, if that's something you can't deal with, then you know, just keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell people, just as long as you're upfront about it, then you shouldn't have a problem. I call it telemarketer dating. And I call it that because, you know, when you're a telemarketer, you're trying to sell something. You get 100 no's before you get one yes.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that with dating. You may get 100 people that'll say, no, I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to date you. I don't want to be a friend. But then you may find that one person that'll come along and they are the one, you know.
Let me ask you this. So with that being said, like I know of a young lady who did get married. And she dated, and then she did get married, and she ended up having a baby, and, you know, she's living her life and moving on and seems to be happy, and everything is great. So I'm glad that you brought that point up. Are you dating right now, or have you found that one yet, or how's it been for you personally?
Well, for me, I actually, in 2013, I remarried.
Oh,
but
wow.
As of 2016, that ended in divorce. And that only ended in divorce because of, like I was saying, you think that this person is there for certain reasons, and then you find out it's not all, you know, what is what is.
But that could be with any relationship, right? It could be with any relationship, right? I mean, in any marriage, you got to take the bad with the good. It's a partnership. It's helping each other.
Right.
When you're weak, I'm strong, and vice versa. So that could be in any marriage. But I'm just so glad that you were able to encourage people, along with what I just said with my friend being married, that it is possible to have a life. It is possible.
Right,
so
absolutely.
Many single women out here, they already feel like they're never going to get married. And that's a whole nother topic in itself. But then to find out that if they have any other kind of diseases. It could be, you know, it could be herpes. It could be, you know, anything. And HIV is what we're talking about today. But if something that they got to live with, it could be even more disturbing to them and depressing to them. And I'm so glad that you just increased their hope and their faith. And just to know that, I mean, listen, your life is not over. It's good to take care of yourself. That's with anything. If you had diabetes, if you had a heart condition, you have to think of it like, okay, this is my portion. I don't know why I'm here, but you got to trust God.
Right.
You got to do what you got to do. You got to work out, eat right with anything, with anything, you guys. Cancer, anything. So I don't want you to say, oh, you know, this is the end of my life. I'll never get married. I'll never have a sexual life. I'll never, you know, I know that this is important to a lot of people. But let me tell you, if you think of it like anything else that anybody else has been afflicted with, you know, and just know that you can have a life after this. It will give you so much open opportunities for life. Truly, God will bless you. And I'm so glad that He's given you the strength to be able to tell so many people about this condition, this epidemic, what's going on in your life, because now you have been set free from the bondage of depression and sadness. Not saying that the enemy don't come in and try to attack you on a daily basis or a weekly basis, but again, everybody, this is for anything. This could be any situation. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to isolate this like, again, if this is a death sentence to you. I want you to look at this as you get older. You still got to take your pap smears. You still got to, you know, it's so many different things that are afflictions from the adversary, from the enemy, that God is still in control over. It doesn't mean the end of your life. And it is a living testimony. The more transparent you are with a situation, the more God can fight for you. And the more God can bring people to you that are ordained for you in each and every season. So I'm so glad, Renee, that you were able to join us. A-Train, thank you so much for doing the interview today. I love his
no
question.
No problem.
He's such a researcher. It's like he's a comedian slash news reporter for real, because he finds it all. And so I wanted you to feel comfortable, and I'm so glad that you were able to join us on Dr. Gina's radio chat. But I definitely want you to be a family to us, and that you are more than welcome to come. I think what month is it, the HIV awareness? I mean, it should be every day, but I'm just saying, this isn't in October or... Isn't it? What month is it in?
Well, there's different awareness dates throughout the year, but the two main ones is December 1st is World AIDS Day, and then June 27th is National HIV Testing Day. Those are two of the biggest dates, but then you have other dates like Black HIV and AIDS Awareness. You have the Latina. You have Transgender Awareness Days. You have so many other days that they have, but... You know, and there's ways you can always look online and search and say, hey, what are the HIV awareness days?
Well, the reason why I was asking, because I want you to come on, if you don't mind, and keep people updated, keep people motivated, encouraged. You know, right. I just would like you to be a part of the team with that, because I feel like it's so important. And I would like to ask you why you're on air, if you would mind coming back. On one of those on those months or those times or whatever, you can let me know, send me whatever, and we can work that out where people can hear you. I feel that there's a special anointing upon you to really be able, because I mean it's an anointing of blamelessness and no condemnation, and I need that, because I need people on this show that listen to understand this is what we're all about. We're all about being living, and A-Train, you know that.
Right.
So I would love for you to be a part of that, if you don't mind. Would you bless us with your awareness, your information?
Oh, no problem. I can definitely do that.
Okay.
Like,
so
where,
now,
if a person wanted you to speak and like come out and speak on something, how would they be able to get in touch with you? Like, what's your information?
Yeah, need your social media and all of your information.
I'm on Facebook. You can search Ladybird, just LadyByrd. You can search Renee Y. Burgess. You can search Ladybird Live Foundation. Instagram, Ladybird 904. On Twitter, Ladybird 904 or LBL Foundation. What else do I have? That's probably it, because I don't like a whole lot of social media. But
right.
And then I have my official website. The foundation's website is LadybirdLiveFoundation.org. And then my personal website is LadybirdLive.com.
All right. So, well, thank you. You know how to get in touch with her. Please get in touch with her. And she's not going to be a stranger. She will be joining us again periodically throughout the whole year. I'm so excited about that. I'm already claiming it. I'm just believing it to be so. Renee, thank you so much for being with us. And we love you here on Dr. Gina's radio chat.
You're welcome. And thank you guys so much. Thanks for reaching out to me, Adrian.
No problem.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to be right back with comedian A-Train, so he can give us the updates on what he's got going on and popping. You know, he's everywhere, and he's at a comedy place near you. So tune in, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I am super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and Soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord and He ministered to me, He put that in my spirit, health and soul. And He said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what He wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you and Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince.
One woman's story is everyone's struggle and Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
What it is, everybody? It's your boy Country Wayne, Mr. Swag Right and Everything, and I'm on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Okay, so we're back, Comedian A-Train. What you got going on for us, and how can everybody follow you?
They can hit me up on Twitter at A-Train Live, definitely on Facebook under A-Train Live, The Experience, and I'm on Instagram under Do It Again and See What Happens. Listen, the whole city is talking about this show just coming up on the 5th of August, man. We're going to be at the Ritz Theater, myself and Kev on stage. It's my birthday party and comedy show all in the same night at the same venue. So we're going to have a blast. Tickets are moving. Listen, people, contact the Ritz Theater box office at 904-807-2010 to get your tickets. Or you can go to jacksevents.com and you can see the link on there for the tickets as well. So we're excited about that. The 5th of August, that's a Saturday night. You can bring out the entire family. It's a clean show, the clean comedy show. So come out and get your laugh on with me and Kev on stage, the dude that you see on Facebook viral videos all the time from all the digital.
Yes, I'm trying to be there. I'm trying to be there, A-Train. I'm trying to be there. Listen, thank you so much, A-Train. You were awesome. Thank you for interviewing Renee Y. Burgess for me. You did an awesome job. I just love you. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next week, homie.
Okay, see you then.
All right. Listen, you have heard it, you guys. We believe here on this platform all about living healthy, living whole, and living in your destiny. And if you notice out of those three things that I just said, it's all about living. You have a life to live. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what has happened, no matter what has come your way, no matter what attacks or affliction, you have a life to live. And God wants you to live it whole. Okay. So keep your eyes on him and just know that it's all about him and you having a relationship, but mostly you testifying of his goodness and of his glory. No matter what it is you're going through, he has the final say. No matter what they did, no matter what they're doing, God still is in control. Well, I love you so much. And thank you so much for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. And again, live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. I love you so much. Thank you. Until next week. I love you. Bye-bye.